We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Obviously, we're still reacting to game two there. The Cavs up 2-0. And might I say that I heard something today. I feel like me and Lima have been on the opposite sides of things. I'm really not trying to do that. I'm not trying to do the contrarian to the contrarian thing. That's not what I'm... But I just feel like, one, I vehemently disagree with his phrasing, or his framing about the series is over now. And we've talked about that. I think what we've learned is that the Magic are incredibly beatable, and now it's your job to finish off the series and beat them. So I vehemently disagree with that. His continued revisionist history on the Charlotte thing vexes me to no end. And then today, they had Danny Cunningham on of Cleveland Magazine. Of course, Danny, also of 92.3 The Fan. He's hosted on this show as well as The Morning Boys and at night. And in asking Danny a question about J.B. Bickerstaff, I thought Lima did the thing that Lima normally would point out is flawed logic, and I thought it was fascinating.
In the lead up to this series, obviously Cavs fans, and I was one of them, we were very nervous about J.B. Bickerstaff. Were we unfair? Because he, to me, has totally outcoached Jamal Mosley, who is a Coach of the Year candidate this year.
So has he outcoached Jamal Mosley, or has he simply had the better team? Like, I feel like we want to have it both ways. Well, the Magic are trash. The Magic aren't good offensively. And also, look at how well J.B. Bickerstaff is out-coaching Jamal Mosley. Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to out-coach somebody when you have three guys that can score, like Mobley, Mitchell, and Garland, and you're 8 or 9, maybe 10 deep, and the other team really doesn't have an offense to speak of.
I mean, that team can't score a bucket,
yeah.
Nick. I mean, you watch stretches of these games, and it's just Brick City. It's actually really a tough game to watch at times.
Yeah, and even for the Cavs side of things, the Cavs still are a little tough to watch on any given possession.
Yeah, I mean, they go through stretches like it could be 5-6 minutes where you're like, what the hell did I just watch?
Like in the fourth quarter. And so, and here's the thing. I'm not going to use this segment to just say that JB isn't doing a better job of Jamal Mosley. I just don't know this is the matchup that you're going to learn that JB is a better coach than anybody else. He has all the weapons. He has the best player in the series. To this point, he's had home court advantage. Like, the only way you're going to find out if JB can coach in this series is if the Cavs drop 2 in Orlando. If this thing comes back knotted at 2s, or if, let's say, you, at the end of the game, you get into a couple situations where he has to be the difference maker. That's when you're going to find out. But right now, it's two blowouts. It's two double-digit wins. Last night was a little bit closer, given how close, what, 9 points with like 2 minutes to go. But like, I don't know, this is, I just think when you win, and I think we do this in all sports, right? Oh, they had a 10-win season. That's a good football coach. Oh, they've won 48 regular season playoff games. They're the four seed, and now they're up 2-0 on the Magic. Listen, maybe JB is a better coach this year in these playoffs. Maybe you get into that Boston series against Joe Mazzulla and he blows you away. Maybe. What the hell are you taking? Like, the Cavs have just played hard. There have been a couple decisions about the kind of defense you play coming out of a timeout that I think are crucial. There have been a couple moments where, last night he called a play. You were actually up by double digits still, and he didn't like what he saw, and he called a timeout to get the team into a play. Now, I probably wouldn't have wanted, like, I would have liked to let him let that play out, but, like, that's a moment where I think fans said, you know what, he probably got us a bucket there because of how he used that timeout. So I'm not here to tell you, like, oh, he's been bad. There is one thing that I think he has not done well, and it's rotations. He gave Sam Merrill 5 minutes in game one. They went after Sam. He was not hitting his threes, and JB, we've not seen from Sam Merrill since. And listen, that makes sense. You're favoring playing good defense in this series. At the same point, though, George Yang, who was vital to the game one win and maintaining that distance so you had a comfortable win in game one, and I'll be honest with you, I think George Yang, I cannot believe I'm saying this, I think the minivan is in Paolo Banchero's head. Because Paolo's more of, I don't want to say he's more of a power guy, but he is. Like right now, how he wins in one-on-one matchups, in ISO matchups, against Yang is, or against Evan Mobley, is he powers them down into the post. And so they've put Yang on him. Smart idea. He played 11 minutes last night. So that's a moment where, yeah, the shot's not falling for George. I don't care. If he's bottlenecking Paolo Banchero, that's as good as 20 points and 3 made 3-pointers to me.
Yeah, it's a good point by you, because I did see last night, I noticed it, that Banchero was really struggling to get any, like, couldn't move, basically. Yeah. Like, was suffocating the defense that the Cavaliers provided.
And you could tell that specifically Yang is frustrating him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch late in that game when George went one-on-one with him, he just kept his shoulders open. He didn't kind of give him an angle. And Banchero couldn't push through him because George is stronger than Evan. So, like, that's a moment where it's like, all right, George Niang played 14 minutes, excuse me. Yeah, he went 0-for-4 from 3. But so this speaks to the bigger issue to me. One, when you have the better team, I don't know definitively you can tell that you're coaching circles around the other guy. Last year was the rare instance where I thought the Cavs had the better team talent-wise. The Knicks beat them. So my thinking was Tom Thibodeau outcoached your ass. And I can point to a couple minutes in those close games where that happened. These games haven't been close. So the two things I'm going to grade you on are, all right, what is your game management like in close games? All right, like, what helped you pull away last night was Donovan Mitchell decided, I'm going to drive to the cup. I don't know that's a coaching decision. I think Donovan on the court said, we just need buckets. It doesn't matter if they're 2 or 3 or whether they come with a free throw. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to expose them on the inside, especially after Wagner fouled out, and I'm just going to go to the cup. I don't know that that's JB going like, hey, Donovan, be Donovan Mitchell. I don't know that's a thing. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't have a close game to reference for him, and I do think he's got the more talented team. And I want to find out, guys, this is not me saying definitively not a good coach. Like, I already have my opinions on JB. I want them to be disproven because, quite frankly, when you change coaches, you change things on your roster. This team is built to be a JB team. So I want JB to show me. But I think it's the lowest hanging fruit to say, well, you're up 2-0. Clearly, JB's out coaching Jamal Mosley. What counterpunch does Jamal Mosley have? Like, this is the same argument that people used to defend JB last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're going to put Lamar Stevens out there? Now, my answer was the rotations with JB, It's not that he didn't go to them. He didn't go to them quick enough. And that's another thing, because you have the upper hand in the series. When you're the lesser team, or when you don't have home court advantage, or when your team isn't playing the better basketball, you need to cycle through changes as quick as you can. All right, I gave that lineup 2 minutes. It's not working. They countered, or maybe it was working, and then 30 seconds later, they countered. We've got to go ahead and counter back, right? Like those kind of things, and they're very, very quick. That's my big question with JB. I don't know that we're going to get – I think you're going to see a better fight out of Orlando, maybe the best fight you've seen because you're going back home. Maybe get more from Franz Wagner. Maybe get more from the role players because they're at home. Who knows? Maybe 20,000 Orlandoans, Orlandians, whatever it is. Maybe they show up and it's a raucous environment and the Cavs maybe turtle a little bit. I don't know we're going to get – the close game where we definitively say, that's how you win games, good on you, JB, before we get to Boston. I do know the number one thing that has not happened yet, and I don't know that this is a criticism. I don't want – because, again, I'm seen as the guy that wants to fire JB. I have very strong thoughts on JB. Right now, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about, show me that you know how to win in the playoffs. That's not fire, don't fire. That is, show me, prove to me. Prove to me you learned from last year. And I would say, when you go to a guy for 5 minutes in game one and the shots aren't falling, and so we don't see him again and he's in witness protection, that's not an encouraging sign. Again, this is not about Sam Merrill. Because again,
I was getting texts about that last night too, by the way.
Like, you're playing seven guys 20 minutes or more on any given night, and maybe an eighth guy for like 14 minutes. The whole point of this is, you got to keep everybody fresh. You're 11 deep. I mean, hell, I wouldn't hate if there's a game where you throw Craig Porter Jr. out there just for a three-minute stretch, just to get him that exposure, as long as you think he's not going to be lost in the sauce. But you're 10, 11 deep. And right now, you got about seven guys ready to go. You need to keep the other guys fresh. And I think this is going to naturally happen when you go to Orlando, but that's the big thing. Like, I get it. We want to just say JB's the guy. We want to feel good. We just want to feel good inside because, JB, it's a great story. If JB tends to be the coach that elevates this team in the playoffs, it'll be a great story, considering how bad things looked last year. The narrative of JB would be very cool. But to say, well, you're up 2-0 with a team that is, I mean, limited isn't even fair to talk about Orlando. They don't have an offense. They don't have playmakers beyond Paolo Banchero who can get their own shot and get shots for other people. That to say that that you've outcoached, I don't know, maybe you've just out-talented them. 216-474-0092. Is JB Bickerstaff, in your opinion, out-coaching his counterpoint? I'm not definitively saying he's not. What I'm saying is, I don't have definitive proof either way that JB is the quote-unquote best coach in this series. And by the way, just again, in deference to JB, I don't know I was ever going to know that in this series. Not in the positive. I think if Orlando had found a way to win these last two games, I think we would have had our answer on JB Bickerstaff, right? Because you've clearly been the better team, just talented team, more often than not. But man, I'm starting to see, it's not that he's... he just hasn't been challenged rotationally where he has to go play a card that he hasn't had to play yet. And I think that's the tell. If they do get tested in this series, when he has to go to something he hasn't tried, that'll be the moment where we can really adjudicate whether JB is the guy, whether he's learned from last year. Maybe that's a better way to put it. Let's go with Bill. Bill, welcome to the show, Bill.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
This is kind of a wasted conversation. Like, Lima, who cares what Lima thinks? There's an article in The Athletic about asking the players in the NBA. It just came out in the last 2 days. You guys can look it up. About who they think are the best coaches in the league.
We actually referenced it yesterday.
Good, good. And so the fact if JB can beat Orlando means pretty much nothing, in the sense that if you looked at the best coaches, he wasn't even mentioned. And there was like about 20 coaches or more that was mentioned on there. When they talked about coaches, they did not. And, of course, the coaches that you know that are the best, like Spoelstra and,
Pop.
The San Antonio, yeah. Pop. We know that. And so all of us, I mean, last year, halfway through the season, if you had any idea about how basketball is played, you know Bickerstaff was struggling in the fact of putting together a regular rotation, getting people in at the right time, developing of Mobley. And then we saw really what really was the final exam during the New York Knicks, and with the Knicks taking him apart, and he looked like he was lost. I mean, if you look at even the series right now, I don't even pay attention to the Cavs playing Orlando. It's almost like junior high. You want to see teams that really play. You know, you see New York against Philadelphia last night. Great game. Great game. Denver against the Lakers. Great game. We're not going to go anywhere with Bickerstaff. He's a good guy. They play okay. But you got to get yourself a big time coach to go to that next level, and we don't have it.
Bill, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. All right, so one, a lot of people care what Anthony Lima have to say. That was
your thoughts in the afternoons.
Kind of a cheap shot at Lima there.
They get pretty good ratings in the morning.
Yeah,
those guys,
the
morning boys,
right. The morning boys. So I will defend Lima on that. Lima and I just are on the opposite side of this. That's okay. Now, listen. I'm trying to keep an open mind on JB because in the end, everything I think about the final 20 games of the regular season doesn't matter if he coaches really well in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm simply saying I don't think these two games are the ones that we're going to go to and be like, oh, yep, no more concerns. I think that conveniently fits the narrative that Lima's trying to spin, that people panicked at the end of the season and that those people were stupid. And, like, Lima's in the right and has been in the right since well before the Charlotte game, when he's constantly espoused the record is the only thing that matters, despite the fact that the final 20 games, they did not play very well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.